Warning, the following episode of Warcity's Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of AJ Warcity and his guests exclusively. Seriously, guys, the show's called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit.
Guys, it's episode 127. It's your host here, AJ Warcity, and I got to tell you that on episode 127, we're going to talk about what the hell is Charlotte doing in Full Sail University? Why the hell is Cody Rhodes taking 10 lashes to the back? Is MLW trying to take over the entire pro wrestling world? And Ring of Honor and TNA over WrestleMania weekend? Lots and lots to talk about here, including the passing of legend my God in heaven. I bequeath unto all of you episode 127.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, AJ Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, your main man, your console mother from another month. This is your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. This is AJ Orsini. That's me. I am the guy. I'm AJ Orsini. I am the host of this show. If you're listening to episode 127, I'm going to give you a quick little something to think about before we go through with the rest of this episode. I is exhausted. I is tired. But I is going to power throughs because I have got news for all of yous. I've got some good stuff going on in my life right now. And since you all sat through all my sad, pathetic shit, I think it's cool that you guys share in some of the positive as well. I gave you guys a little bit of a rundown of the things we're going to be talking about here. We got some AEW, we got some WWE, some NXT, some MLW, some Ring of Honor. Jesus, we've got TNA to discuss. Can you believe this? That's like what? One, two, three, four. Shit, I'm looking at my paper right now. We've got AAA on here. We've got Dragon Gate. Holy crap. We've got a crap ton of wrestling we've got to get to. But before we do, I would like to start off with a little bit of some good news. How about we do that? I usually tend to start off some stuff with my personal life. So let's divulge into that just a little bit and get a little bit more in-depth on the stuff that I put on my social media earlier. I'm recording this on Thursday. So this happened earlier today. See, I'm really good at keeping track of stuff. As if you couldn't tell. Very organized here at Orsini's Uncensored Mind. But something really cool happened to me today. So I'm not going to go verbatim and repeat everything that I wrote on Facebook because that would be redundant. Also, it's pretty long, so fuck it. But about 5 years ago, I decided to go back to school. As a matter of fact, when I started this podcast, which was in 2017, I was kind of balls deep already into school. And so if you've listened to the show before, you've listened to previous episodes, you've heard me mention my classes and my stress levels and all that stuff before in the past. So since you guys have sort of taken this road with me here, my squad of O, you've been following along with the trials and tribulations of Operation Get That Damn Degree, with the Oster here, I might as well pass on some very, very cool news to you guys if you didn't get a chance to see it on my Facebook. When I started this trek originally, the idea was is I wanted to go to school for a physical education degree. There's multiple different things that you could do with that. Obviously, teach in schools, or you can teach, you could use it for physical training. You could teach all these people your knowledge, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to coach, I wanted to teach, I wanted to utilize my mind and my expertise and my knowledge on the human body, not just for my own personal reasons with my family and such, but also, not for nothing, for the pro wrestling game. Yes, I was trying to finagle some of that into that direction as well. Anything to make myself more valuable, hence, being a businessman, that's how that works. So that was the dream, that was the idea. Way back in 2015. Now, you're probably asking yourself, bro, wasn't your son born in 2015? It was. I chose a shitty time to go back. But having said that, newborn son, out of school for about 14 years at that point, because I graduated in 01 with my high school diploma. So It's been a long road, a very difficult road. A lot of sacrifices were made, not just on my part, but on the part of my family as well. And they make you jump through a lot of hoops. You can't just go in there and say, hey, I want to graduate. You know, like when you first start, you can't just walk in there. I want to graduate with this degree. A lot of bullshit has to happen before that happens. You got to be, you know, in my particular case, my high school transcript was the shits. So I literally started, not all, I think my math section was remedial. And if you're unfamiliar with what that means is that you're going to be going to a college class for a full semester, and when it's done, you're not going to get any credit for it. That's basically what that means. Zero credit. It will make you eligible for math classes in college. That's what it'll do. It'll bring up your score, so to speak, and then you'll be able to, you know, it's like a prerequisite type deal. So not only did I start from zero, I essentially started from a negative number because I had to take remedial classes. So I was far behind the eight ball when this whole thing started. So to make a long story short, you got to jump through a lot of hoops, a lot of appointments, a lot of shaking hands, a lot of meeting people. I started off with a liberal arts major, and then we changed it to a movement science major. Just a lot of moving and jostling around to try to eventually get one day. You keep working at it, and one day you'll get into physical education. Now, physical education is ran by two departments. Obviously, they have their own department where they work on the physical and, you know, the actual gym stuff. Then you also have to run through the education department, obviously, because, you know, in case you decide you want to work in a school, you got to know what you're doing, right? So it's ran by two departments. So last year, I had applied for the, not last year, what am I talking about? Last semester, fall semester, I applied for the teacher's education program, but I haven't heard from them in forever. It's been a while. And about 2 weeks ago, I finally got my acceptance letter. Everything was good. They said, you know, my GPA is fucking immaculate. So they were like, yeah, you're pretty much in. You're a shoo-in. Here's your deal. Here's your sign, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, that was a huge thing for me going getting into the program, because that means now, like, you're one step closer. Everything always feels like one step closer, right? And after a while, one step closer, one step closer, one step closer. After a while, you start to feel like there's not really a whole lot of progress being made on that front. You start to get a little down on yourself a little bit, which is what I was feeling. So if you heard any of the episodes from last semester, you probably heard a lot of episodes with me, probably not in the right frame of mind. And then in the course of that whole deal, like, I lost a very good friend of mine. One of my friends was in the hospital. You know, there was just so much going on last year, so to speak. You know, 2019 was a very rough year overall. So let's get to the crux of this. Today, I already signed my application. I mean, my acceptance letter, but I signed it, but I never brought it in. And so it took some time to get into the physical office. So the appointment was set for today. As a matter of fact, I was going to go in to drop off my acceptance letter and all that would be it, right? Pish posh done and off to live my life. Well, on my way to the place, I'm not going to drop any names, but the lady who basically runs the department emailed me directly and told me that my appointment time was set for, I don't know, I think it was for after my class, so about 6:50, 7 o'clock, something like that. I was going to come by, drop it off, and be out. But she sent me an email, as a matter of fact, and she said, I need you to come to my office before that. How soon can you get there? And I was already on campus. I had a class. So I said, I mean, if it's an emergency, I'll go now. So she was like, yeah, come, because I got to leave in like 30 minutes or whatever, so you come down here, and I got to give you something. It's like, cool, fine, whatever. So I told my professor, hey, I got to dip out. I have to go to the department or whatever. He was cool with it. All right, go do what you got to do. I leave. I bring my letter with me because I'm thinking that's what it is, right? I drop off my acceptance letter. I speak to her for whatever fucking reason. I just go back to my fucking class. So I went. I dropped off the application letter, and she came out of her office personally, which is a big deal because I've been speaking with her for several years now. And it's usually been either through email or the one semester. There was one semester about a year or two ago where she was my professor. So I saw her then. But other than that, like, she never really comes out of her fucking office. It's like Punk's Tony Phil. You know, she'll come and she'll check the fucking temperature or whatever, and she'll go back into her fucking hole, and that's pretty much the end of it. But she came out today, and she came out with a piece of paper. And I was like, okay, what's this? You know, another piece of paper to sign. More bullshit, right? Blah, blah, blah. So she gives me this piece of paper, and it's a change of major form, and it has physical education on the form. And I looked at that, and I said, okay. Because I knew I was going to have to change it at some point. I just didn't realize it was, like, right then and there. Actually, I thought it was going to be something the department did for me. Like, it wasn't something that I was going to have to sign and whatever. Like, I just figured being in the program, I choose my major, and that's pretty much it. I didn't realize it was going to be a whole deal. So she was like, nope, this is it. And like I said, about a year or two ago, she was my professor. So we had plenty of time to talk about, you know, the upbringing and the road to getting to her classroom. It's all part of the curriculum. So she knows my story. She knows what I've been through. She knows how much time I put in, how hard I worked for the last 5 years, essentially. She told me that the reason why she emailed me directly is because of that story. Because she knows what I went through to get here, to get to this department, to get to that major, how much work was put in. And she told me, I wanted to give this to you personally. I wanted to be the one to give this to you. I just wanted to see your face. Because she knows how long I have been pushing to get this major change, and just every day, just moving every day for the last God knows how many years. And so I took a minute, because I looked at it, I'm like, this is it, right? Like, I've been working literally. For anybody who's listening to this, if you know where I'm coming from. If there was ever something that you really worked at for, I mean, just years and years and years, and then poof, with no warning, because I didn't get a warning for this. I wasn't prepared for this. Poof, it's here. This is it. This is the final piece of paper you're going to fucking sign. I'm changing my major over. I'm going to take these classes, and then that's it. And she said, she gave me the paper. She goes, that's it. This is it. This is the paper you've been wanting to sign. So I took a breath for a second. My mind just started racing. Everything was happening so fast. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm just going to sign this. So I signed it, and I gave it back to her. I kind of almost didn't want to give it back to her. I worked really hard to get to that. So I was like, I don't know if I want to give it back. But I did give it back to her, and she hit me right in my feels, because she looked at me, she gave me a handshake, and she said, the next piece of paper I'm going to be handing you, it's going to be on cardstock, and it's going to have a leather binding to it, and we're going to be wearing robes. And that got real. I'm not going to lie, that comment got really, really real, because I'm going to be honest with you. I think I've said this on the show before. I never thought I would be able to do this. Not that I'm not smart or responsible. It's just, college just seemed like something that I not only couldn't do, but really didn't want to do. There was like this piece of me that was just like, fuck it. I'm going to do it without it, right? I'm going to go without it. But, you know, as I labeled down on, not labeled, but as I wrote down on my social media, there are other factors that made me actually decide to go back. And she looked over the credit system, and she said, based on what you got now and with the classes you have, by the end of the semester, you'll be a senior. So, I mean, we started crunching numbers, and if we really push, I mean, think about this, guys. I've been doing this for 5 years, and based on the numbers we ran today, if I pushed, and if I really went for it, I could be done in a year. And that gave me goosebumps. I was like, are you fucking serious? Like, this could be something. It's no longer like a what if. Like, we're this close. We're knocking on the door. This could be something very, very real for me. So I was overcome. I had a lot of emotion, because this is just becoming. I'm a 3.5 GPA. I mean, if it's put in front of me, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to say that I'm taking these classes for granted, because I'm sure they'll all be difficult and all be time consuming in their own way. But if I haven't stumbled yet, and I've passed some incredibly difficult classes, I don't foresee the rest of the schedule, because I've looked ahead, the rest of the schedule will fucking me up. The ones that I was really worried about was the biology, and I explained that. I forgot what episode it was. I explained how much of a headache that shit was. But I did it, and I got by it, and I passed it. Really high marks, too, for it. So this is becoming a reality for me, that I'm going to have this college degree, that it's going to be something that I've earned, and it's a pretty incredible feeling. So for everyone within the sound of my voice who has been following me along on this journey through this podcast or through my social media, thanks, because there was a long period of time there where I just really didn't think this was going to be something that was feasible or something that I could even physically do. So the fact that we're here, It's pretty fucking awesome. It's pretty fucking awesome, I got to tell you. So thank you guys for that. And we're going to get off of me now, and we're going to start talking some pro wrestling here. I know that's what you guys came to hear. You guys came to hear the discussions and the talks, and I got some hot takes for you guys. Hot takes. Hot, hot. Fresh off the presses. But before we do, I want to go ahead and I want to take my big fat ass crystal ball, right? And I want to look into the future of pro wrestling. I'm moving my headset around right now because I'm trying to take my hat off because I, for some stupid reason, I'm sitting in my house and I decided out of nowhere before I started this to put on a hat. And my scalp is on fire right now. So I'm trying to turn it. There we go. I'm trying to take this off. My scalp feels like the inside of some fat guy's sweatpants right now. It is. There's moisture here. It is uncomfortable. Here we go. All right. Headsets on, back on. We're good to go. Okay, so I want to take my big fat crystal ball and I want to check out the future of professional wrestling. And for me to do that, I have to look no further than a company that I have been paying attention to for a little bit now. And the more I pay attention to it, the more kind of, what's the word? Not shocked. Because you, when you see a slow, steady progression, it's not, you're not shocked that that this happened. But Major League Wrestling. Major League Wrestling. Now, I've got to be honest with you. I've seen a lot of their, I saw a lot of their earlier stuff, okay? I haven't really gotten a chance to see much of it recently. Like I said a second ago, I've been kind of busy. But everything that I've seen from them, it's very, very interesting and very, very cool, and I'm very, very into it. And I like a lot of the stuff that they've done, and I love their presentation. I love the talent they have, the way in which they take the time to develop said talent. It's a really, really, really good company, and they've been doing some amazing things recently. And every time I flip through, Every time I freaking flip through my news feed, I find more and more information. So I grabbed a bunch of things recently and I want to talk about it. One of the things I want to talk about right off the bat is MLW is doing some amazing things, not just in the world of pro wrestling, but apparently internationally in the world of pro wrestling and through a potential streaming service. Not entirely sure if you guys have heard, but MLW right now, as reported by the PW Insider Magazine, and I happen to know one of their great writers, Mike Johnson, and I'm telling you right now, if this stuff is being reported by PWI Insider, I'm going to go ahead and give it the benefit of the doubt. Now, they haven't concluded anything. There's nothing definitive. But there's been some talks, and I kind of want to talk about it as a conversation starter here, that MLW, Major League Wrestling, has been in negotiations with Amazon. Now, I am an Amazon Prime. Amazon? Did I just say Amazon? Amazon, I believe. O-N. Amazon Prime. I'm an Amazon Prime fan and subscriber. And I got to tell you, I'm not big on the program because a lot of it, if I'm going to get a streaming service that I'm paying for, I would like to have access to everything to the service that I'm paying for. It's the one thing about Amazon Prime I don't like because a lot of that shit, when you go there, there's a section for things that are included with Amazon, and then there's half price shit, and then there's extremely priced shit. So I'm not a big fan of the app, but if MLW was to come onto Amazon as an inclusion, you've got my attention. I think for some oddball reason, it's just hard for me to follow it on YouTube because there's so many different things on YouTube. I always get distracted. If it had its own app or something like that where it would be no distractions and it's just exactly what it's supposed to be, then it would be easier. But because, because it's on YouTube, it's just fucking with me. But Amazon is very limited. There's very few distractions on Amazon. I actually don't watch too many things on Amazon. It's nice every now and then to pop on something old school. And I was following The Boys, which I can't wait for season 2. That's going to be coming out. We're going to be talking about that on the show coming up, especially when that shit gets up and running. Because The Boys is a pretty fucked up and freaked out fucking show, and I can't wait. But having said that, The Boys and MLW on Amazon Prime, you've got my attention, friend. I am ready to go. And MLW already puts on a great production. So for them to get on a streaming service like that with that many viewers, it's only going to pump up the popularity of that particular professional wrestling company. With so many other companies now attempting to make strides just like that, and companies starting to realize now the real money being made in this industry is on being exposed to the most audiences. And to be honest with you right now, the more eyes are on streaming services. It's just the way that it is. I mean, there's so many people that I know of personally and from, you know, social media, that there are so many people getting rid of their cable packages. They're almost solely based off of streaming services. So, you know, if you're going to, you know, for everybody who's fighting to get on national television, TNT USA, it's really not that far out of the realm of possibility to be a successful major league, no pun intended, wrestling company through solely streaming services. It doesn't seem that far-fetched anymore. So, especially with a powerhouse like Amazon. Amazon has just got its hands in fucking everything. But when you included him with streaming services competing against Netflix and Hulu and all kinds of different fucking streaming services that are going on, Crackle, whatever the fuck that is, everyone's getting a little bit of action on the streaming service way. So for them to not have to spend the expenses on their own app and piggyback off of an app that's already in existence and not only has the proper platform for it, but it definitely has limited options, to be honest with you. So if it was, I think it works out better for MLW if it's included with Amazon. If you've got to pay extra for it on the app, like some of the other shit that's on there, might hurt the chances of success just a little bit. I don't know if anyone's going to want to take the chance on an unknown for some people who have never had a chance to see it. But I'm completely interested in the idea of them doing it at Amazon, and I can't wait to push forward and see where that goes. Having said that, there's no better time to do the other thing that they're doing, which is expanding internationally. I wanted to talk about this. MLW is doing a show in Mexico, Tijuana, to be exact. And not just any show in Mexico. By the way, this is happening on March 13th. But it's a co-promoted show with AAA. Yeah, AAA, not the car service. AAA. We were talking about this on the Royal Rumble show, if you caught that. You know, whenever someone does a promo in Mexico, it's AAA. That's right, AAA and MLW will be doing a combined show March 13th in Tijuana, Mexico. And that's huge. AAA obviously has a lot of fucking stars on it to the Mexican wrestling community. MLW definitely building up its own little clique, its own little, rogue section here in America. And getting those two exposed is going to be fantastic. But there's more. There's more. MLW is not just going south of the border. They're going to the land of the rising sun, as an old friend seems to be returning back to the States. Dragon Gate, back in negotiations. As a matter of fact, I think the negotiation with Amazon is still on, but the working relationship with AAA and with Dragon Gate is official. The ink is dry. Court Bauer is already putting out press releases. These things are happening. Now, the AAA show in March 13th is a sole event. I don't know if they plan on moving forward with that, but they are moving forward regularly with Dragon Gate. So we're going to see a lot of cross promotion, a lot of talent exchange. This is going to be really, really cool. And MLW right now is stepping its effing game up. I mean, seriously, it's really stepping up its effing game. They're really trying to come out here and provide a fantastic product. Now, one of the things I love about MLW, and this is just my own personal opinion, and that's why you're listening to the show to get my opinion, but MLW was like a lower-scale WWE whilst still having kind of that NWA power feel. There's a lot of wrestling that goes on this program, but it does kind of have a sports entertainment vibe to it as well. It's a very hybrid, very likable, in my opinion, company. And if you're listening to this on off chance that you're not a hardcore, but you just happen to be a fan either of my shit or maybe you heard me talk about some WWE shit, I'm telling you, even if you're a casual, if you give MLW a chance, I think you're going to find some stuff that you're going to like. So I'm really looking forward to what MLW has coming down the pike. I really am, because I can't tell you enough about how fucking excited I am about what can happen. I hope things do happen, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm excited about what can happen. There's such a possibility for so many different things, and I hope Major League really, 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 really kicks it up. I can't effing wait. You know what I can't effing wait about, by the way? I've got a sexy, sexy tea. I don't know if you guys know about that. A very, very sexy, sexual tea. And I'm going to tell you guys a little bit about that. So hang on tight. Hey guys, Orsini here, and you know when you're about to do a big presentation, a big speech in front of a large auditorium of people, and you start getting nervous, and your palms get all sweaty, and you start to forget your speech in your head, and people always tell you, you know, when you get up there and you start to feel a little nervous, all you need to do is picture or imagine the entire room naked, and it makes you feel better. Well, all of that is completely bonk and false. What will make you feel better is if you picture everyone in front of you in that audience wearing Orsini's Uncensored Mind official t-shirt. And you should wear one too. All you need to do is head over to prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM and you can get this nice, comfortable, cotton, sleek, gray tee, and you can wear it to all of your social functions, you can wear it to work, you can wear it to go see your kids that you're not even paying attention to. It's obvious. It's the obvious choice. It's the attire that everyone should be wearing. Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and that's the t-shirt over at prowrestlingtees.com/AGOUM. I'm serious. You might be good parents, but you should still buy this shirt. Yeah, I mean, you can still be good parents and buy the shirt. You can be shitty parents and buy the shirt. I'm not going to judge you. Just buy the fucking shirt. That's all there is to it. And that's the bottom line. Yeah, I went there. I've been channeling him a lot lately. I got to put some fucking Austin on my YouTube. Anywho, speaking of Austin, you know, Austin's a 3-time Royal Rumble winner. He did an awesome kick-ass promo there to start off the Royal Rumble. Only to, of course, copycat, right? Copycat. The Rock does the opening promos, I guess you could say, for the Super Bowl. Kudos, by the way, to the Kansas City Chiefs for winning that fantacular game. Breaking their 50-year streak of fucking irrelevance, I guess, because they haven't won a chip in forever. So now they're back in the game as a franchise, reinvigorated with a beast, Mulatto, at quarterback. It's going to be fantastic. But yeah, you know, The Rock does the opening promos there for San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs. But to be honest with you, after watching the two, The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, I got to be honest with you, I loved Steve's more than I liked The Rock's. Patent it, Rock, good stuff. But Steve, fastball right down the middle, baby. I loved his goddamn promo before the Royal Rumble. That was good shit. Such good shit, as the McMahons would say. But, you know, he's a 3-time winner of the Royal Rumble, and which makes him historic. But there's another historic winner of the Royal Rumble, and her name is Charlotte Flair. That's right. Charlotte Flair won the 2020 Women's Royal Rumble. Or is it just the 2020 Royal Rumble? What are we talking about here? Are we removing this label or fucking not? Is what I'm trying to figure out. I thought they were taking women's name off the belt and all that other bullshit. I just saw the fucking episode like an hour ago and it still says women's on it. So I don't fucking know anymore. It's fucking whatever, dude. I'm giving up on the whole women's championship and blah, blah, blah bullshit. I don't know. But that's not what we're here to talk about. Charlotte won the Royal Rumble. Comes out to the ring Monday Night Raw and does this whole spiel about how you know, she gets to pick a champion of her choice. And, you know, she's beaten the SmackDown Women's Champion, Bayley, a bunch of times. She's beaten the Raw Champion and Becky Lynch a bunch of times. And she doesn't really feel like they're posing much of a challenge for her. But she's like, fuck it, I'm going to go for all the gold. I don't know that that was her saying that she wants another triple threat, you know, winner take all match at WrestleMania. Dear God, let's not do that shit again. But that's what it sounded like. Until, of course, my favorite wrestler in the world today, Rhea Ripley, comes out and issues the challenge against the Queen. If she's going to compete against anybody, why not compete against the one woman that has beaten her and that Charlotte has not beat? So, awesome challenge out there. Charlotte, of course, plays it off. And then we got a nice little segment on NXT television between Charlotte, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley. All three of them coming off like stars. What a fantastic promo there from the three women. Why are we talking about this, AJ? Because you're hyping it up and you're giving them a whole lot of praise. Here's what we're talking about it. What the fuck is Charlotte doing in Full Sail? What the fuck is Charlotte doing on NXT? What the fuck is Charlotte doing competing for the NXT championship? Now, I know people are going to hear that and they're going to say, AJ, you just praised the segments. They're good. Why are you curious as to... And I have two words for you. You're going to disagree. You're all going to disagree. There's not one person who's going to agree with me on this. I already know. I'm on an island onto myself. But I accept this. Okay? Finn Balor. Those are my two words. Okay? I'm going to get back to Charlotte in a second, but I'm trying to make a point here. Finn Balor. I need you to listen to me. Listen to me hard. Finn Balor does not belong in NXT. He doesn't. It's unfair. It's uncool. This is not nice what they're doing, okay? Did Finn Balor need a reboot? Did Finn Balor need sort of a tweak, some sort of a badass? Blah, 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 blah. Yes, he did. Absolutely. Getting stale. No problem. That repackage that you gave him, you could have gave him that shit on Raw. He didn't need to be on fucking NXT to get that repackage. He did not. It does not look right. It does not look right. He looks like a man amongst boys. A chess player playing checkers. This is just, it does not fit. He looks light years above literally everyone else. And to be fair, to be absolutely fair, he looked like that the first run he had. When he was in the NXT, when he was in NXT the first time around, he was just so much more talented than everyone else. Longest reigning NXT champion of all time. This guy had great matches with everybody. The first run, he was just too much. That's why he was there, what, maybe a year? And then to the main roster, and went to the main roster, and immediately competed against the top guys and eventually became the first ever Universal Champion. That's how talented he is. And now you're trying to tell me that he has to open up NXT UK or NXT, whichever version, Worlds Collide against, was it Elijah Dragunov? Now, Dragunov is a fantastic performer. That was really my first time seeing him. He's really, really fucking good. But he ain't lacing Finn Balor's fucking boots. Nobody in that fucking company is. No one in either of those companies. And I'm not saying that all great wrestlers and they can't compete with him on a physical level. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Finn Balor's skill set. He works a room better than anyone else. He works a camera, hard cam, roam. His timing, his footwork, his ability to make his little moves seem like big moves. His psychology, everything about Finn is polished. He is a polished, finished product. He's not a one-sided guy. He can wrestle multiple styles with anybody that he's in the ring with. He can wrestle with big guys. He can wrestle with small guys. He can fly. He can fight. He can do it all. He does not fit in NXT. It doesn't work. Now, granted, for everyone wondering, well, are you going to feel the same way after Balor fights Gargano at NXT TakeOver Portland? Yes, I'm going to feel the same way. Will I be impressed by that match? Of course I will be. It's two of the best wrestlers in the world going at it. It's going to be a fantastic matchup. And that's including, I am including Johnny Gargano's falsies, which is a typical thing. The falsy face. He's got a falsy for that. Johnny Gargano, king, he's the whole shebang, and he's the king of the falsy. No one has mastered the false finish the way that Johnny Gargano has, okay? No one does. So that match is going to be great, but aside from that, and a possible Ciampa feud, and a possible Cole feud, who is rocking with him? None. Now let's take it back to the original point. Charlotte. What the fuck is Charlotte doing in the NXT ring? What is she doing there? Now, I know people are going to say, well, AJ, NXT women's division right now is the hottest division on the planet. It's clearly the more superior women's brand in the WWE. True, across the board. But again, I didn't ask you what she was doing in NXT. I asked you what the fuck she was doing in Full Sail. She made that place seem small. She did. She didn't help that situation at all. She made NXT in the ring and that audience feel small. It doesn't fit. Now, do I want Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania? Hell yeah. And I love the stuff that Bianca was doing to kind of plant that seed of doubt as to whether or not Rhea was even going to get to WrestleMania. But let's face it, that's the money match right now. Rhea Ripley and Charlotte. That is the money match. There is no other matchup that can take place at WrestleMania that comes close to that. Shy of Ronda surprising everybody, coming back and challenging Becky for WrestleMania. That's really the only thing. Anything shy of that, the money match is Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley. It just is. The way they've built up Ripley, the way that they've technically built up Charlotte, it makes complete 100% sense. I don't like how they're getting there. This, first of all, Rhea Ripley challenging Charlotte. I didn't like that. How does that make Ripley feel like a big deal? It makes her feel like, you know, almost fanish, right? Because it's like, oh, she's checking out. She's looking out for Charlotte. She's keeping an eye on Charlotte Flair. Why? You've got Bianca Belair, the EST of NXT, in the coming weeks. I didn't like the fact that it was Ripley that laid down the challenge. And I especially didn't like the fact that Charlotte couldn't answer that challenge from a bigger arena. I think that would have worked that into the program. I'm not even going to minimalize myself to going there to meet you. You want to face off with a champion? Come to me. Come to the blue brand, baby. Come on over and check it out. Or the red brand. Or any brand that's not NXT. Go. Come. Check me out over here. That's what that is. That's what that should have been. Because that makes, in my opinion, that makes Rhea seem more big time. Let Rhea Ripley do her things on the big stage. Makes her appear great. Gets her experience on that top level. It's fantastic stuff, to be honest with you. I just don't like the way they got there. I don't like her in Full Sail. I don't like Finn Balor in Full Sail. It doesn't look right. It absolutely does not look right. I can't wait for the match, and I hope that they do. Like I said, I praise the segment. I thought it was good. I just don't like her in that building. The entrance, when you watch Charlotte's entrance in Full Sail, it doesn't feel right. It's like they're being visited by the president or something. It's just awkward. She just seems bigger than the area that she's in. It's almost like a step down for her. I don't mind these two people feuding. I would love to see it. I'm going to pay good money to see it. I just don't need Charlotte in Full Sail. That's it. And we all, even if that happens, there's no way Charlotte goes over. There's no way. Because then what? Charlotte goes to NXT Full Sail every Wednesday night live on YouTube. Get the fuck out of here. It's just not happening. It's not happening. Rhea's going to get her rub at WrestleMania, and that's about it. That's all that really can happen. So that was definitely one of the situations that stood out to me about that. I definitely want to talk about that because I think the women's division right now, especially when it comes to NXT, is hot stuff. Hot stuff. Hot tamale. So, of course, we got to go ahead and bring that up. We're going to dig deep. Charlotte went to Full Sail and invigorated some of her past. She got a nice little welcome home chant, you know. So she got accepted by the audience, and she got a nice little return. And she was like a little, when they played that song, it was like a little blast from the past. It was nice. It was nice. But there are two companies right now that are really digging into the past. And I need to talk about this shit, please. Because I can't remember which one did it first. And here we are with two retro throwback shows from two retro throwback companies. Impact Wrestling obviously is alive and well, their version of well, and they decided they were going to do a little flashback show. They're going to do a little TNA versus Impact type deal. So it's going to be, what do they call it, TNA There's No Place Like Home. And they're doing a show WrestleMania weekend, April 3rd, Tampa Bay, Florida. So if you are asking yourself, is Impact an indie company now or not? I guess this would seal the deal, would it not? Because only indie shows work WrestleMania in WrestleMania venue. That's just how that goes. So that's what they're doing. And TNA, There's No Place Like Home. I told you already, April 3rd, Tampa, Florida. Let's go through the list here. They've announced in Ultimate X. They have not announced who will be in the Ultimate X, but they have announced there will be one, and that's nice. That's one of my favorite matches, so that's pretty cool. D'Lo Brown and Ken Anderson coming in as members of Aces and Eights. Why the fuck are we bringing in Aces and Eights? Why? Was it that over? Were they the ones that made it that over? I'm not entirely sure. But it is from the past, so there goes that. Chris Sabin is listed as returning for this show. Now, here's the thing. I don't mind Chris Sabin coming back. I don't exactly know what the Alex Shelley contract situation is. Alex Shelley was just reunited with Kushida as the time splitters. So I don't know what his contractual situation is, but I will tell you this. The other company that's doing a throwback retro show is Ring of Honor, and Alex is on that show. So I don't exactly know what the situation is with Alex Shelley, and I'm trying to look it up right now. As a matter of fact, while I'm doing this, I'm multitasking like a motherfucker. Yeah, I've been listening too much to that. I've been listening, comments on Achieving a Dream. Yeah, he's not signed. According to this, that's a dope picture of him, by the way. He's in amazing shape. WWE is confirmed. I have more to say, but wrestling for WWE specifically has been a dream of mine for a while. I've had to do a lot of hard things in life. He's thanking him for inviting him, but he's not signed. He's not signed to WWE, so could Shelley potentially make an appearance on this show? Possible. Motor City Machine Guns, obviously one of the greatest tag teams in TNA history. Another great tag team in TNA history. America's Most Wanted, Cowboy James Storm, and the Wildcat, Chris Harris. Now, James Storm obviously is with NWA at this time, but Chris Harris has been announced. He's going to be there. So one half of America's Most Wanted, and if I'm booking the show, I would definitely place a tag. If we don't get Shelley and we don't get Storm, I think it would be cool to put Saban and Chris Harris together for a mock tag team just for the night, and you can sell the history of the two teams, and you can make sense of that. That'd be pretty cool. I'm not booking it, but there you go. Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. Holla if you hear him. He's going to be at the show. He's going to be there with his little buddy, Petey Williams. I know those two will be together in some segment, some form or another. That should be dope. My old coach here, my old boss, the Amazing Red, makes his return. That reminds me, I hope they're getting their music. Like their original, what was Amazing Red's? That one. I want Amazing Red to come back. And I'm debating which one I want for Saban. First of all, hail Saban, either way. But I don't know if it's that original one or the Casio one. Hail Saban! Dope. They need to bring that shit back too. Disco Inferno is listed here, which is ironic because he wasn't in TNA as Disco Inferno. He was in there as Glenn Gilberti. So I don't know why Disco is being asked or advertised, even down to his Disco outfit. Like they're promoting a WCW picture, so there's that. And that's just what it's the show's on April 3rd, and we're only February, early February. So a lot of time, there could be more names added to that, but that's the names that have been added for TNA's No Place Like Home. I have a bad taste in my mouth when it comes to Impact because of that that last retro show they did where there was like that weird 80s throwback pay-per-view or show or whatever the fuck they did. I don't know what the fuck that was, and I don't really care. So I got a bad taste in my mouth as it is, but it would be cool. Whatever happened, you know who I would love to see there? Can't do it now, I guess, because he's in AEW. But, I mean, Kazarian alone would be cool. But can I get, what is Michael Shane doing? Can we get Michael Shane and Kazarian? Can we get the world's coolest tag team together again? That would be pretty. Put them against Harris and Saban. Oh, man. Four old fogies just going at it. All the old heads in here. Is Elix Skipper doing anything? Because they got some. I'm going to get to that in a second, too. Ring of Honor is doing this also, pulling out some crazy names. Very obscure ones, by the way. I mean, because Ring of Honor and TNA Impact are at a point now where, I mean, how many fans who watch those programs now even know of these other names? So it should be interesting. I don't know how much of a drawing card they are if they have to be reminded of who they are. But Ring of Honor, past versus present. That's going to be March 14th in Las Vegas. By the way, if you're asking how the hell can I watch these shows, I'm not sure because I went looking and I couldn't figure that shit out. Now, for the TNA show, I'm going to go ahead and just say something like fight. I'm not entirely sure if Impact has something up their sleeves. Maybe a not fight. I said that wrong. I meant Twitch. Twitch is what I meant because that's where Impact usually runs its shows now. For pay-per-view purposes, they run it on Switch. And not Switch. Pfft, Twitch. Yeah, I'm sober, by the way. Twitch. But Ring of Honor, past or present, I already said that. March 14th, Las Vegas. They've announced five matches as opposed to talent like TNA has. They've announced five matches. Doug Williams returns. Not only returns to Ring of Honor, but comes out of retirement to take on the Octopus, Jonathan Gresham. Generation Next returns. Two members, anyway. Alex Shelley, like I just mentioned before, and Matt Sydal. They are going to tag up to take on Villain Enterprises, Marty Scurll, and Flip Gordon. That should be a fantastic match. Homicide versus Brody King, which should be a fight, and I can't wait for that. Jay Lethal versus Xavier. Here's the thing about this. I have a personal stake in this particular match. I know for a fact this is a match that Jay Lethal has wanted for a long, 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 long time. Obviously, it's never left him because I can promise you when Ring of Honor came up with his idea, Xavier was not involved in the pitch. I think this is something Jay Lethal brought to the table and they accepted, and I cannot wait because very few people have the insight that I have. That's right. When you're listening to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, sometimes you get exclusivity. Sometimes you get exclusive information. And I have some exclusive information on Xavier. And there are a lot of, and the reason why I'm saying this is there were a lot of people on social media killing this idea because Jay Lethal is considered arguably one of the best wrestlers in the entire world, bar none on weight or size. And people will say, well, Xavier was a beast in his day, but there's no way that he's going to be able to keep up with a guy like Jay Lethal. Well, here's the deal, folks. You're wrong. That's it. Open book case. Bye. No. Xavier is in amazing shape, and I know this because I've seen it with my own eyes. For those of you who follow me and know, I used to roll with the boys, the Hog Boys down there in Queens, House of Glory Wrestling, and Xavier has made quite a home for himself there, and I have personally seen him do the training, and I have personally seen this man's body being in complete immaculate shape, and I have personally seen this guy transition from pro wrestling to the MMA world, complete with, I forgot what his fight record was, but I mean, this guy's been in the cage, knuckling up, shoot fighter, this guy is for real. And I think Jay Lethal knows that. And I hope Ring of Honor sells this point home. I know Xavier sent out a promo in response. So we're going to get cooking with that. We're going to get Jay Lethal versus Xavier. And it's going to be a better match than I think you guys are anticipating. Because you haven't heard from Xavier in a long time. A lot of people don't even know that he was the second Ring of Honor world champion. It's one of those championships sometimes that, you know, that slip by on people. So that's going to be a fantastic matchup. And we have one more appearance here. John Walters, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he's one of the original pure champions, and he that's back when they had the pure title. So I know that many people may not be too versed in that, but I'm sure, again, leading up to the event, they'll get into the history. He's a fantastic shooter. He was a great mat technician. I remember him seeing him a few times live. And I'm looking forward to seeing him. He's not booked in a match, not as of yet anyway, so maybe they'll have him in some sort of a fight situation. I'm not entirely sure, but it should be interesting how they maneuver this stuff around. I know personally I can't wait. Now, what I just mentioned was TNA, and I mentioned Ring of Honor. Okay? Now, me, as a, you know, I'm a bit of a anti-nostalgia guy, but even I have to admit, I like the idea, if for no other reason, just to change shit up, right? Just to bring back some of the old fans, get them to look at the new product a little bit and see if we can get any of them to stick. I get it. Business-wise, I understand. All right? This is an opportunity. I kill the WWE when they do it because they're not really in the position where they need to do it. But for companies that do need to do it, all right, I can kind of see it. I can even kind of get by it. The problem is that when you bring back these old school fans, when you tease them with things like past versus present, or there's no place like home, and they come back, right? Just to take a peek. How does this shit look? I haven't seen it in years. The problem that you run, or the risk that you run, I should say, is that when these old school fans come back, they're expecting to see something old school. I named TNA, I named Ring of Honor. A lot of those guys, when you say those company letters to a lot of people, the names that I just mentioned, they're not on that list. The guys that you would think of when you say, who are the guys you think of when you say TNA? Who's the first guy? Maybe Jeff Jarrett, right? Now, he's not contracted that I know of. I think, and if anything, he probably has like a Legends deal or an ambassador deal with WWE. But from what I understand, I do not believe that he is full-time contracted. Could he be there? Possibly. It's a possibility. Not going to rule that out. But who's another guy that you would think of? AJ Styles? Samoa Joe? Sting? Kurt Angle? Shit, even Christian? None of those guys are going to be there. There's a lot of fans, like Christopher Daniels, low-key. None of those guys are going to be there. Ring of Honor. Probably the same names I just said, right? Samoa Joe, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk. None of those guys are going to be there. Those were the real heyday guys. And I think sometimes you run the risk of, you know, when the hardcore fans left, hardcore Ring of Honor fans, hardcore TNA fans, when they left with their memories of what once was good or great, depending on who it is you talk to. But when you bring these old school fans back to take a look at what you got going on, and you're showing them the product you have now, and it doesn't even closely resemble what you were doing before, you run the risk of doing a lot more damage. This show has to be good. Doesn't matter how old these guys are. And for the most part, everyone who was here, or everyone that I named, or who I picked, still in relatively great shape. I can make an argument right now, Red in particular, or even Petey Williams, Chris Sabin possibly, are better now than they were even back then in their heyday. But you got to showcase them correctly, and we'll see if they do that. So I'm not big on the nostalgia stuff, but in this particular case, man, I don't have a problem with that. I want to see what they can do with it. I'm more curious than anything else. I just want to see what they do with all of that. We have two more topics we need to get to here before we wrap this bitch up. And one of them is going to be real quick. I'm not going in depth about this. Okay? We lost a good one recently. I was trying to say, believe it or not, I wasn't going to do this on the show at all. I really wasn't. Because it's such a polarizing situation, I just didn't feel the need to go down this road. But sure enough, I'm not going to say that I'm being forced, but at the same time, I feel like I have to say something just to get it off my chest, just to get it just to get a little relief on my end. So as all of you know, I'll go through it quick. We lost a basketball legend in Kobe Bryant, and we lost his one of his daughters, and about seven other people that were on the helicopter that was with him. Also families, a husband, a wife, and another kid was on there. And the helicopter went down, and they lost their lives in this tragedy. And the only thing that I wanted to say was, you know, the whole rest in peace deal. And you know, I would hate to be in that position where one day I wake up and just two members of my immediate family are gone just like that, snap of a finger. And it's a really touch-and-go, sad situation. And that's all I really wanted to say about it. But I felt the need to bring this up because I just wanted to quickly comment on the other side of things. Just for a second. Because I can't resist the urge to just tell someone to fuck all the way off. Sometimes I just can't resist it. Okay? I can be a professional. I can get outside of my own ego at times. But there are some, very few times, where I can't help but just sit here and just say, fuck off, okay? In this particular situation especially, because it wasn't even 24 hours before we're talking about him being a rapist, before we're talking about him being a gigantic piece of shit for the things that he's done over time. And I'm one of those people. I don't just look at the good. I look at the bad. When someone passes, you got to look at the body of work. That's why I always get a heat with people when discussing Eddie Guerrero. Because Eddie Guerrero, yes, he's beloved and everyone loves him. They treat him as a god. And while I can agree he was fantastic and one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, I can assure you, God, he was not. He was an imperfect man. And he made a lot of very, very public and bad mistakes. So while he has passed, and I wish his family well, I'm not blind to the other shit. He's no angel. Kobe Bryant was no angel. But the crime that he committed here was perjury and adultery. According to the law, in the great state of Colorado, Kobe ain't no goddamn rapist. So that's one. Let's deal just with fact first. He was never charged with anything. Yes, the lady dropped the charges. Yes, it's probably because of pressure or for whatever reason she decided to just jump off that bandwagon. And she made her decisions on how this was going to go and how this whole thing was going to go down. And I cannot sit here and tell you definitively that he did or did not rape her. We all know that sex took place. He's confessed to that. But according to him, it was consensual sex. It wasn't rape. And while there's no evidence that states that he is innocent, there's also a whole lot of evidence that states that he was. That this was consensual. There's a lot of evidence out there. I'm not going to fucking run it all down. I looked it up earlier today just to make sure that I knew what it is the situation truly was. So I had to separate myself and think about that and take it all in as fact. Every piece and element of that case and everything that comes coming back to me is she didn't follow through with the case. He's not a convicted rapist. He's not a rapist. To me, that's a very simple situation. If a judge is not seen for a crime, okay, if you're not going to go see a judge for a crime, if you don't see the judge and there's no conviction of anything, then the only reason that you can call him a rapist is based on your belief. It's how you feel. It is your opinion. And just like there's no evidence to support your opinion, I don't need evidence to support mine. Everything that I've seen from this case gives me the indication that there's a pretty good chance this was consensual sex. And I believe that. Just like you believe the opposite. Neither one of us are going to be able to determine whether or not the other person is wrong or right. Only people that know what happened in that room was Kobe and this young lady. That's it. But the fact that you felt the need to wait until he died to bring all this shit up, and not when he was going through his retirement tour or dropping 81 on whoever the hell it was, you didn't say anything then? You waited till he died in the grasp and arms of his daughter? I don't take anything you have to say seriously. That's a joke to me. That's not real. That's not a real thing. So I wanted to bring that up and just tell everybody right now that if that's your whole idea, you're not going to celebrate. I'm not going to celebrate him because he's a rapist. I'm not going to celebrate him because he was an asshole. All right, that's your belief. But I will give you one giant right here. You can't see it because it's audio, but there's one big giant middle finger right here and just tell you, fuck off. Seriously, fuck off. Calling a dead person a rapist does nothing at this point. Nothing. It helps no one. It does nothing. You're doing it for clout. You're doing it to be edgy. You're doing it to seem cool. You aren't. Move on. Fuck off. I really should do a fuck off segment. Every episode, we just pick something and just be fuck off. One last thing to talk about here on the doc, but our main event of the evening. AEW. We got to talk about it. just for a second. Got to talk about it. Cody Rhodes, MJF. I didn't get a chance to see it live, but I literally had the segment sent to me. The segment being Cody Rhodes needs to receive 10 lashings to get the match for MJF at Revolution. And as I started watching, because they gave you like a little pre-package, somewhere along the line they put together patches. This goes way back between MJF and Cody. And we're taking lashes to get a match. Okay. So the reason why the person sent it to me is, he told me, you're really going to enjoy this. This is one of the better segments AEW has ever done. So I'm like, wow, this is going to be great. Let's put it on. And then we put it on, and sure enough, yeah, he's getting lashed. 10 lashes. They sold it beautifully. Tears. They got him good, too. Just really tattooed him up. Bruised him up real fucking good. Dope. Just, it was, visually, it was just an amazing scene. None of this shit makes any sense. None. Fuck off. I'm not trying to keep the gag going here, but I'm being very serious. None of this shit makes any sense. None. None whatsoever. The timeline just doesn't make sense. It just feels like they're throwing in the kitchen sink on this entire program. And I don't understand why. There is power in subtlety here. Especially when it comes to Cody. Cody is a veteran. He understands the game. But the fact that all this is happening, we've got steel cage stipulation. We've got strap situation. Right? The whole premise of this entire program is MJF screwed over Cody Rhodes. Okay? Kicked him in his huevos. And that only cost him a championship match against Chris Jericho in the heat of the moment. But because of a previous stipulation, he screwed Cody Rhodes out of that title forever. That should be enough. Run the revenge angle. What kills me, though, is the lashes. The lashes in particular kill me. The way they did it was perfect. But there's no buildup to that. The lashes should be a kitchen sink type situation. Just throw everything in but the kitchen sink. But the kitchen sink in that scenario was always last. That's what it means. Everything but the kitchen sink. So that when you throw the kitchen sink, you know it's the last ditch effort. It's the last thing I have to throw. But this isn't the last thing they're doing. This was like the third. This whole stipulation thing is so weird. He kicks him in the balls. Then he plays hard to get. He tells the EVP, no, I'm not going to wrestle you. You have to do X amount of things to get in the ring with me so you can get your payback. And like a doofus, he's doing these things. I don't understand. This is why the relationship with your fans and how open you are, this is why you have to be very selective. Because they're very, very open. I am fully aware. I have been made fully aware by them as part of their audience. They have made me fully aware of the fact Cody Rhodes is an executive vice president of AEW. He is an executive vice president of this entire company. He could vary this whole deal. Well, I'm not going to wrestle you, Cody. No, I'm the EVP. You're going to wrestle me tomorrow if I fucking tell you to. That's how that's going to work. And people are like, well, he can't just book himself in matches. Tony Khan's the booker, and he has final say. If you truly believe that a booker has more power and more clinching final say than an EVP of a company, you're an idiot. Or you can go the other way with that. You can say that, yes, he's an executive vice president, but since Tony Khan is a con and they're the ones putting the money in and he's booking, he's going to get final say no matter what, then we're not the idiots. He is. Cody is. Because that means that title means absolutely fucking nothing. Means nothing. Tony's already had meetings and interviews where he's told people about people coming in and pitching ideas and going over creative. Cody, Jericho, and I didn't hear a whole lot of other names. Cody's in there, though, pitching shit. Cody's in there doing his thing, trying to be a contributing member to the team. But he's the strongest baby face they have. And I guess my problem with the lashes is that the lashes are usually used for an underdog baby face. The lash is used to give the audience the impression that he is at his absolute lowest. He's done everything that he can as a baby face to get over on this badass heel, and he's getting beat now, beat by his own goddamn belt, lowering his self-esteem, lowering his dignity, treating him like an animal, like JR said, which I'm so proud of JR. We had that long-ass segment with the strap, and he didn't mention the government mule once. I was very shocked and very surprised. But the fact of the matter is that Cody Rhodes is an EVP. He wears a suit. Beautiful wife. Ton of money. He is never going to be an underdog babyface. Now, I'm not saying he can't be a babyface. He's the top babyface they have. He's the best they have at being a babyface. But he doesn't need to be a drop down to my knees, out of the my future is out of my hands, underdog babyface. You don't need to treat him like that. And for the record, it's not believable when you do. There was a lot of emotion in those strap matches. Of course there was. I said strap matches. There was a lot of emotion in that strap segment. Of course there was. Take anybody. Any criminal for that matter. Pick a criminal. If a guy went into a store and blew the head off of two people, and his punishment was to be taken into the town square, stripped of his shirt and whipped until the flesh left his bones. Regardless of what crime he did, looking at that is going to make you emotional. It's going to be a disturbing scene. The human mind's not built to take in that kind of information. So, of course, it drew a lot of emotion. It's a real fucking thing. He got hit for fucking real. He welted up. It was uncomfortable. It made you fucking feel. But outside of that ridiculous amount of adrenaline being punched into you by watching this, you know, if you take anybody and put him in that situation, it's going to draw emotion. This situation should have been built up. There was no need. Between the kicking the balls from Full Gear all the way to Revolution, you didn't need all this stuff. It's just so much stuff. You can spread this out farther. It's not bad. I just feel like it's being condensed. It's being cut down. You're not getting the full effect of everything that you're doing. That's all I'm saying. Okay, if he gets kicked in the balls at Full Gear, use your EVP power. At the next pay-per-view, at Revolution, I'm going to kick this little shit in his face, and I'm going to show him that he needs to stop messing with me, right? And then MJ comes out, he's taunting him on the microphone, Cody taunts him, responds back, they go back and forth, week after week, they're just communicating with each other in the most horrible way possible, and at one point, he talks Cody into an absolute frenzy. Cody fucks him up, beats him up big time, right? Maxwell comes running to management, to the cons, Cody's out of control, he can't handle himself, and this is usually the part, I'm sure, but that's where they would come up with the no touch stipulation, but no. Don't even tell Cody he can't touch. Tell Cody, listen, you're out of control. You're not being able to keep your emotions in check. We're going to have to take your title from you. We're going to have to take the executive vice president, you know, tag off of you since you can't seem to control yourself. And Maxwell uses this to his advantage. Look what happened. If you blow your stack, you're going to lose your position. So you start egging him on. You start egging him on. The beauty of the touch rule is that fans are pretty much preconditioned to believe that because that rule is in place, it's a guarantee they won't touch. You know, if they put it in fine print, you're not allowed to touch him or you'll be penalized. It's a very good chance not going to touch him. But if you don't make that rule, if you have Cody snap on him at first and you separate him, and then MJF is just egging him and egging him and egging him and egging him, and Cody just wants to bust him in his damn mouth, but he knows that if he does that, he can cost himself a job. You see, in my opinion, the rule handcuffs Cody. I think you uncuff him. I think don't even make it a rule. Make it a get rid of the want. That's what that is. Get rid of the want. Don't put Cody in the position where he wants to beat the shit out of this guy. You know, he's got the fancy suit. He's got the millions of dollars. Let this guy be exactly what he is, a patient babyface who's going to beat the fuck out of this asshole as soon as he gets the opportunity to try. So don't even create the whole don't touch rule. I would have been done with that. Get it to the point where MJF is taunting him so goddamn bad, but he's just so G with it. You're not gonna fucking budge me because I'm going to get this match and I'm going to kick your ass. Okay, and then what I was saying before, that making your position known so well amongst the public about being a VIP, it hurts. So the only way that you would be able to put in a position where it unhurts is to include that as a stipulation. I would replace that. That's what we would be doing leading in the revolution. I wouldn't do a strap. I would, Cody's robes would come out. He snapped, right? And they were about to fire him, and he makes this big plea, and he gets to keep his job. He looks over at Maxwell at some point, and he says, "You're a fantastic athlete, but you're also a giant dick. And I can't wait for a revolution so I can kick your ass." And you just keep egging it until the point where MJF says to himself, "I'm not going to fight you." And Cody tells him, "You're going to fight me. You're going to fight me because I'm the executive vice president. I make the decisions around here, and I've made the decision. You're going to fight me." So we get to Revolution. Straight up, just like that. He wants to get, don't overthink. Get right to Evolution. MJF, Cody Rhodes finally get together. Bing, bang, boom. MJF wins heel victory, right? Whatever that means. Tights or whatever the case may be. Just, he fucks him over, right? So now Cody's really distraught. See, because at Full Gear, he was caught by surprise. And then at Revolution, he might have taken him for granted. Right? Didn't appreciate the kind of guy that MJF was. So now he just suffered a loss. So that's a beatdown at Full Gear and a full loss at Revolution. His momentum is completely shifted. Cody has been unstoppable as a babyface. He wins every feud that he's in. And this one, he loses, right? He's going to lose to MJF, and he can't control himself. Now he's upset because he knows he can beat this fucking guy. Now he knows that, like, I can beat this guy, and I can beat the fuck out of him and really make him pay. I just need one more opportunity. See, now you've built up a situation where he just has to have this match. First time out, he doesn't really need it, to be honest with you. He's got everything he needs. But now he's gotten his shit kicked out of him, and he gets beat in a match. Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm going to fight MJF one more time. And I want to fight you at Double or Nothing. That's right. They got another pay-per-view in May. 2 months later. Double or Nothing 2. How appropriate would that be? I lost. This is coming from Cody. I lost to MJF at Revolution, so now I'm doubling down. I want another shot at this. I want to do this again, because I know I can beat you. And now MJF says, "Nah, I don't want to fight you again. I already beat you. There's no grounds for it. I don't need to." And Cody pulls the power again. No. I'm the EVP. You're gonna fight me again at Double or Nothing because I'm gonna prove to you that I'm a better performer than you, that I'm a better wrestler than you. Now, Cody starts to feel a little heelish a little bit, but that's more edge for him. That's more, you know, I'm going to make this happen. Push that authority, right? So then we get to Double or Nothing, but now what? In order to get there, because Cody really wants to fuck him up. I really want to fuck you up. Before, I wanted to beat you. Now, I want to hurt you because you're lying. You're walking around here telling everybody you're better than me because you beat me. You didn't really beat me. I lost to you, but you didn't really beat me. So now, Double or Nothing, we need to be put in a position where there's no excuses. So we can go ahead. I forgot what building it's going to be in. Might be back in, no, I think, well, this one's in Chicago, so I'm not sure. But we'll have a street fight. Anything goes. Back and forth. Everything is allowed. We have MJF pull everybody out of the curtain. Wardorf and the whatever the fuck, Hodor, or whatever the fuck that fucking bouncer's name is. And you bring everybody in, and you fuck Cody over again. Double or Nothing, because the last Double or Nothing, when they win, when they started their show up, everyone won gangbusters. But this time around, MJF's running around and looks like Daddy crapped out. That's right. MJF wins again. So now Cody is beside himself. He was fucked over at Full Gear. He underestimated him at Revolution. He got cheated at Double or Nothing. Crapped me out completely. Well, I've got to have this match now. Now I've got to have this match. Before, I just wanted revenge. The second time around, I just wanted to clear up a misunderstanding, and now I want actual blood. Now I want actual blood. So now here we are in the summer, and I want one more match. Now this time, MJF can sit there and say, "Wait a second. Wait a damn second. Yeah, I screwed you over at Full Gear, but I beat you at Revolution. You were the one that set the stipulation up for no holds barred at Double or Nothing, and I beat you at that. So why should I face you at this point?" And I know if you really wanted to be a jerk about it, you can just go ahead and book it because you're the EVP and you can make me do your little dances. But you can't erase the fact that I'm 2-0 against you. In every scenario you lay out for yourself, 14 million different views of a scenario, and you never seem to find the one way you win because I always tend to pull it off. So now we're heading into the summer. Big pay-per-view, I'm sure, and to be honest with you, I got no interest in fighting you. You can fire me. You can find me. I've already beaten you. I have proved my point. Cody's got to have it. Cody's got to have it. So how about this? We'll sweeten the pot, MJF. You said it yourself. I've got the power to book any match I want. I could put you against me from now until the end of time, but Lord knows you and I don't want that, so here's what we do. You give me one more chance to beat you, one more chance to fight you at whatever blah, blah, blah pay-per-view of the summer. One more chance to beat you, and I'll tell you what, you give me this match, and I will put my EVP status on the line. Meaning if I win, I keep my title, and I get a piece of your ass, which is what I want more than anything else in this world. But if you win, I am no longer EVP of AEW. That's a good step. That's a good step. You get me out of office. I become just another guy on the roster. You would have taken everything from me. Okay? You took my championship opportunity at Full Gear. You took my dignity at Revolution. And you damn near took a piece of my ass, double or nothing. I want something in return. That's the promos leading up. And MJF comes back at him. Says you want to put your EVP title on the line, that's fantastic. I'd love to make you an unemployed performer, and that's fine. But we've had all kinds of stipulations for matches, and you chose them all, and now I'd like to choose one for me. All right, brother, pick the stipulation you want, anything. I'll wrestle in anything to get my hands on you. Cool. So why don't we do this? Why don't you and I do this the real way, and we'll have ourselves a little strap match. All right, no excuses. Nobody gets to run away from one another. We settle our differences in the ring. Of course, the heel has other plans, but he has to try to come off like a little bit of the hero, like it's his idea. Then these two get into the ring. Something goes down. Bing, bang, boom. Cody finally walks out a winner. Leading up to the pay-per-view, of course, just to sell the idea of the strap, you do the segment that they did freaking last night. That's when those 10 lashings, they mean something. They mean something. Because you're building it up to a strap match. I wouldn't have even done 10, set aside for 10. You can do that same story with just strapping them up and just beating the fuck out of them with that strap. Welting them up, getting that human emotion involved. And then next thing you know, they're all foaming at the mouth for the pay-per-view to see if MJF can survive yet another opportunity. Or if Cody can overcome and be the true babyface we all know and love. That's just me spitballing right now off the top of my head. If I had time to sit down with pen and paper, I'd be able to fine-tune that. But that's basically roundabout. That's, in my opinion, that's making the lashes mean something because it's telling an actual story, not just bruising someone up for the shits and giggles of a one-time matchup. It's long-term. It gets him into it because he can't compete for the championship. So he needs something long-term to be worried about, not for nothing. By the end of it, he will have built up a new heel for his company, whilst I'm sure still remaining one of the big baby faces of it. There's a lot of winners in this scenario. Now, I'm not saying what they're doing is bad. What I'm saying is I feel like it's being rushed. That's the difference in things. And I wish they would stop and take it easy and just build this old school. Old school. Old school works every time, especially when you have old school competitors. Yeah. So that was my idea. You guys might have some other ones. Let me know what you think about this whole strap situation and everything that went down with that. The emotion was good. It felt right. It's just misplaced. No proper buildup. I wasn't invested in it. So there goes that. Anywho, in any way, ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank all of you for supporting me for as long as you have. This whole conversation that we just had, it was just Fantastically done. I've got some new equipment stuff that I'm going to be working on, I'm going to be doing recently, so we may hear some new voices on this show coming up. I have some things that I have to test and run by and blah, 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 blah. So I want to take this time now to thank you for liking, thank you for downloading, thank you for sharing, and of course, thank you guys for enjoying. I want to thank you guys so freaking much for everything that you've done for me. You guys have no idea. Thank you so much. Good night.
100 episodes, now pay him.
And make sure that you buy my husband's t-shirt at prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUN. Please, he needs this.
Listen to my daddy's show. He's the best, so I don't know.